So, last Sunday we were gone, me and my brother and Eli. We had a little, actually we went to visit a mega church, believe it or not. It was pretty awesome. There was a line just to get in. And we were waiting out there in the rain. It was kind of raining and snowing-ish. They don't sing your typical worship songs there. They sing, they chant, and they get the crowd going, if you know what I mean. They even have their own communion, you know. They even got their own communion, a beer and a pretzel. Yeah. We went to the Metrodome, the Holy Metrodome. Did you guys get it? It's a joke. Good. That was my first game there. I've never been to a football game, a live game. It was intense. I tell you, we came up there. On the train there, we went to the Mall of America, first stop there. We dropped off our car, and we went to the train to the Metrodome. And guys, I'm telling you, this is crazy. I've never seen so many people like that. And everyone's pushing, everyone's shoving, everyone's fighting and just yelling at each other, oh, my team's better, you know. It was Packers and Vikings. So there's this guy, he was a Packers fan. He comes with his friend, he's wearing a jersey. And there's these two drunk guys sitting there in the train. Before the game, they're already drunk, you know. They're already wasted. So they're sitting there and they're making fun of this guy, and the guy's just taking it. And Andre is here. Andre's yelling at those guys. And he's like, "Oh, I'll see you off the train." And you know, he's threatening them. It was hilarious. But these guys, it was intense. Guys, they paint their faces, they chant, "Go Pack, go!" You know, they do their songs. There's the cheerleaders, the whole thing. We were sitting up high, and I got a whole glimpse of the stadium. I have some pictures on Facebook. Oh man, they have a lot of tongues. They say a lot of tongues, man. They say a lot of stuff. And they, guys, they're crazy. They're radical. They're like terrorists, but for football, you know? I'm saying, if you're sitting, you walk in and you're a Packers fan and you sit by some Vikings fan, man, they'll harass you. They will harass you. They will throw stuff at you. They will yell. And they will make fun of your team. It was crazy. And I'm sitting there in the middle of the game. And I'm thinking, just, I don't know. I'm just like, wow, God, what if we were like this? What if our lives, what if our Christian life, what if we were this radical? If someone said something against you, said something against your values, what if we stood up for them? What if we, you know, what if we painted our faces? Now, I'm not saying literally, but what if we took up our armor and just showed it off to everybody? That's what they do. They take their jersey and they show it off to everybody. You know, I'm a Packers fan. I'm a Vikings fan. But I was just so amazed how radical these people are. And half of them, okay, not half of them, probably 90% of them are all wasted and drunk there. We didn't partake of the communion, by the way. We were good. And I'm just thinking, God convicted me really at the game. And I really learned something. I was just sitting there, and everybody's cheering, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I got to do something different, you know. This is not right. If these people, if they're living in sin and believing this and believing, it's just a game. And they will die for their team. The people, they're crazy there. I'm telling you. They will yell, they will scream, they will fight with you. They will die for their team. I'm just thinking, God, I need to be like that for you. I need to go out there and show my life and represent you and stand up for your values and stand up for your beliefs. Whew. It was insane. At the end of the game, the main point I want to say is we need to take an example from these people. Not the drinking and the partying and the cussing and everything. There's a lot of that going on. But the way how they're radical for their cause, their value, we need to take an example from those kind of people. The one thing we don't need to do, though, at the end of the game, they were yelling, "Fire Childress." Imagine. Fire the pastor. Yeah. Fire the pastor, fire the worship leader. Imagine 60,000 people yelling, "Fire Childress." And you're the guy. I felt sorry for that guy, really. I felt really bad for him. And I was like, oh my gosh. What we're going to be talking about, God just put this on my heart. And this message is actually for me personally and for your neighbor. So look at your neighbor, tell him this message is for you. But God put this on my heart a long time. And I've been, I've tried to find something else to preach about, to spread the word about. But I couldn't let this go. It just kept coming back in and coming back in my mind. And I'm just like, God, I'm going to follow you. You know, I'm going to let this go. And I'm going to do what you want me to do. The message we're looking at today, comes from James chapter 3. It's taming the tongue. So raise your hands if any of you said anything stupid before. I think all of us can say that in our life, we've said something stupid. And out of that saying or whatever happened, whatever we said, we've done something stupid after that too. We can all say that. Some of you are with me, that, and Jesse, we're both raising both of our hands and our feet and everything. We say plenty of funny things here, right, Jesse? Oh, but so many times we say things that cause fights among us, that cause fights with our spouse. Hey, honey, does this make me look fat? Not going to answer that. Not going to. We say it. That's true. All the guys out there, Andre just said it. It's a lose-lose situation. Don't answer the question. Get out of the room. Run. But we say things that cause fights with our kids. You know? You stand behind me, Satan. I'm your mother. We say things that cause fights with our parents. And you guys, most of us are young. We have parents. We know things that we say. We say things that cause fights with relatives, family members, friends. We say a lot of things, and sometimes they're not the best things coming out of our mouth. You guys agree with me on that? We have this thing in our bodies. It's a powerful, magnificent tool. It's the tongue, obviously, I'm talking about. That's the message. It has the power to heal, to destroy. It has the power to kill. It has the power for life. It has the power to heal the broken. It has the power to encourage, to lift up. And it all depends how we use it. So we're going to start with James chapter 3, and we're going to go with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of a body, but it makes great boasts. Stop right there. So the first point on the tongue controls. It controls us, and sometimes it doesn't do the best thing. Let's go to the example in the Bible here. It talks about a horse, right? And a horses are wild, amen? Yeah, they're not, we have these tools called bits. We put them in their mouth, and then we steer them with the reins, all right? But horses are wild creatures, and we tame them, and we domesticated them. Without these bits, the horse would be useless. It would just be running around. You couldn't ride it. You couldn't have it do any of the work that you wanted it to do, amen? You never see a horse volunteer to plow a field, do you? Hey, sir, like to plow your field. Okay. Yeah. You never see a horse do that. A horse is, once you put the bits in their mouth and control them, you can tell them to do whatever you want. So that's what the Bible's saying. As our first example, it says, a horse, you can make it obey us, obey the horse once you put the bits into the mouth. It needs a bit to be controlled. But without it, it's useless. So remember that. We're going to use later in our message. The next thing, the boat. Let's go to the boat. Take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. So imagine the ship, like that Titanic. You know where this is going. A Titanic, you know, imagine just the diagram of it right here. This is like the Titanic. The rudder is probably about this big. It's a very tiny piece. It's just a flap on the back of the ship. And the pilot controls where they want to go. Into an ice cube, you know, get to New York or wherever they're going. Pilot controls. Some say it's a conspiracy, but I don't know. Terrorists? But such a huge thing, there's such a small thing that controls it. Such a big thing. It's like a floating city. Imagine that. Titanic, thousands, millions of people, I don't know. But Thousands. There's a little rudder that controls where you want it to steer. It can go anywhere. But the pilot has the control of the rudder. Amen? A horse has a rider, right? The boat has a captain, a pilot. Same with a plane. Plane has little flaps in the back where it tells it where to go. They have a pilot. They all have something that controls them. They all have the instrument, the rudder, the bits, or whatever, but they have something that controls it. Now, in our lives, sometimes we stumble and we fall. Amen? What do we let control us? Do we let anger control us? Do we let fear control us and use our tongue to say things to other people? Do we let our greediness control us? What do we let us control us? Do we let selfishness control us? Sometimes lust. Do we let lust control us? We have a lot of things, guys. There's a lot of options we can choose to control us. Sometimes we don't even want it ourselves. But we have to let God control us. That's the number one thing. Let the Holy Spirit, God's power, because without it, it's nothing. We need God to let it control us. Because once we do that, we need God's Spirit. And with His Spirit, what comes after His Spirit? The fruits of His Spirit. With the fruits, we speak love. We speak joy. We speak peace. We speak kindness, patience, self-control. We let that control us. And that's what's going to lead us to righteousness. That's what's going to lead us to eternity with Him. Not anger, not lust, not greed, not selfishness, but the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, long-suffering, goodness, self-control. Let that control us. Now, the next thing, the tongue condemns. Anybody agree with that? Amen. The tongue is mentioned 93 times in the Bible, and most of the references are destructive. For instance, I have a few here. Job 5:21, the lash of the tongue. Next one, Proverbs 15:4, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Next one, their tongue is a deadly arrow. That's Jeremiah 9:8. And then also James. So we see in the Bible, when we talk about the tongue, it's not referred as a good thing. Yet every person has a tongue, hopefully. But we see that it's not used as a good thing or referenced as a good thing. A lot of times, there's evil in the tongue. And we'll read on here. Let's go to next to scripture, James 5, the second part of 5 through 8. And I'll read that here. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among its parts of the body. Corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire from hell. Now, tell the truth, guys. I looked at this James chapter 3 many times, and I never understood. What does it say here? Tongue is a verse 5b. Well, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. I never understood what great boasts was. I don't know why it said the tongue is small, but it makes great boasts. Does anybody know why? Or have any idea? The tongue is small, but it has power. I'm a little thing, but I can do so much damage. I can destroy your marriage. I can kill your friend. I can cause him to kill himself. I can put you in debt. I can mess up your family. I can mess up your friends. I can mess everything up. I never understood it until I kept reading this and soaking myself into it. And the tongue, it is true. It can boast so much because it can do so much. And it can destroy something. But in other terms, it can lift it up. And yeah, guys, we all have problems with it. And like I said, this message is for myself. You know, I struggle with saying things. You know, I work at a call center. Collections. Some of you know Jill, Audrey, Jesse, Xana. We hear a lot of bad things said directly to us. We have this special button called the mute button. Anybody know that? Release button, whatever. It's not a good for a Christian. Let me tell you that. It's not really good. But I'm being honest with you guys. I struggle sometimes. You know, I say, oh, you're stupid. You know, I don't cuss at them. I don't cuss. I got over that when I was still in middle school and high school. But I just say, you know, foolish things. You're an idiot. You know, it goes a long way. It goes a long way, trust me. And especially when your coworkers hear that and they know what kind of person you are, they know what kind of life you're living, it's not really good. So all you collections people, watch it. Watch it. I'm going to be watching you. Oh, man. Let's go to... Oh, my gosh. You guys wouldn't even believe it. These people on the other end of the phone, they're creative with their language. I swear, they write down what they want to say. I had a guy, I'm just telling you, share this quick story. I had a guy, he called in actually, and I got the phone. And I can see the notes on the call. And it says, basically it says, this guy's crazy. And I answer the phone, I'm like, hi, my name's, I go by Joe on the phone because people can't say my name right. And the guy's like, I don't want to talk to any Indians. He's like, I'm like, sir, I'm speaking English. Can I start with your account number or your social, you know, whatever the spiel I go through. And he's like, I'm not talking to any Indians. I'm like, sir, we live in America. We're from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And, he, you know, he uses creative language in there also. And he just wouldn't let me talk. He thought I was an Indian, you know. Going back to James. 5b through 8. Now we talk about, it has an example of how a small spark can start a fire. Our words are the sparks. We have the tongue, the powerful tongue. It creates these sparks. It sparks in our marriage. Creates sparks in our family with our kids. It creates these sparks and it's devastating. It's a fire. It'll destroy everything. As we can't have that in our lives. So many times I've seen people with their kids, with their wives, and they just say the meanest things to the kids, you know. I've seen it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. And they just call them names. They think that it doesn't do anything. They think that, yeah, I'm just getting my anger out. But the kid is devastated. The kid grows up without any self-confidence, without any courage or strength or bravery to do anything. These sparks, they start a fire. And it destroys everything. It destroys our confidence in ourselves. It destroys our trust in other people. And it actually produces a lot of things. It produces hatred, fear, bitterness, you name it. It goes from there. And this small spark, it can rip up a nation. It can cause you anger. It can cause, and the anger can cause into a killing. It can cause murder. The small spark can devastate a family, a relationship. It can start a World War III. It's happened before, guys. It can happen again. And I just want to tell you guys another story. I had a, you can call him friend. This guy, I knew him since 6th grade, probably, middle school, till high school. I wasn't really friends with him. You know, he was not the part of the in people. He was kind of nerdy. He's a really weird guy. I wasn't in. I was never in the in crowd, you know. But I knew this guy. He got made fun of sometimes. He looked real weird. He had some acne on his face, you know, some problems. But some people would make fun of him. And sometimes we would sit at our table when we were in middle school. I had a group of friends, and we hung out, and we, you know, sometimes they made fun of him. I'm sure I did too. You know, I'm not a holy person here. I'm sure I said something, or said something to somebody else where I made fun of him or something like that. But I knew this guy from sixth grade. I saw him sixth grade, seventh, eighth, and through high school. And I sat by him in one of our classes in Adrum. I sat by him and. Sometimes I would talk to him. I was kind of just wanted to get done with that class, you know, catch up on my homework for the next class that I never did the night before. But this guy, I knew some of his friends, some of his family, and I knew that they weren't really good. And he started doing drugs. He started going heavily in drugs and just in sin. And I think he went into like demonic stuff, witchcraft, sorcery, stuff like that. I sat by him a few times. You know, I did talk with him, just chatted, you know, small talk. Sometimes he would talk to me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm trying to do homework here. And this guy actually, he committed suicide senior year. He hung himself. Yeah. And as I thought about it, I'm like, God, I sat by this guy in class. I sat right next to him, like you two guys are sitting. And it just convicted me. He had so many things said to him that were poison, that were destructive. And it just condemned him. And I know his family and friends, they weren't there to support him. And they even teared him down more. So he turned to drugs. And that's it. And I still think about it sometimes too. I still think, and it makes me want to go out to see, when I see a person like that, it makes me want to go out and talk to them. Hey man, what's going on? You know? And I don't want that to happen to your guys' life. You know, that shouldn't happen to you guys to have someone close, you know, that sat next to you, kill themselves, and you have to think about it and change your life. This is what I want you guys to get this from this message. The things you say, they matter. The things you do, the things that come out of your lips, they matter. And they'll either bring somebody down or lift somebody up. And in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And that's exactly what happened to this guy. He went through the gauntlet, you know, in school. He got hated on, name called. He turned to drugs, couldn't satisfy him. And so I think I heard from his girlfriend. He had a girlfriend, and she came one day, and he hung himself. That's what he did. And I know people still talking about it, and how we should have done something, how we could have said something, how we could have, you know, done something, be the light. And they're not even Christian. Why didn't we do something? Why didn't we say something that could change this guy's path? Because you know what happened to him. You know where he went. It's suicide. And it says in the Bible, whoever destroys their body is going to hell. So that was really life-changing for me. And every time I hear people say stuff to other kids, and I always think of that story. And, I want to encourage you guys today that you don't have to lose someone close to you to change your life, to change how you control your tongue. You don't have to do that. You can read the Bible. You can soak yourself into God, and He will train you. He will produce those fruits in your life. And with this scripture here, verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's so true. Animals can be tamed. We've tamed horses, cats, dogs, whatever. But it says right here, no human being can be tamed. I'm going to emphasize that. No human being, tongue can be tamed. We got to stop trying to control ourselves. Because we can't do it. It just says right in the Bible, you can't control your tongue. You can't control your tongue. None of you guys can control your own tongue. God can control your tongue. We have to ask the power of God and His Spirit to take us and overtake us. That way we can control the tongue. So we can use the tongue for its glory. So we can use the tongue to lift up people. So we can use the tongue to heal. So we can use the tongue for the brokenhearted. So we can use that tongue to give life and not death. When God comes into your life, He'll produce that in you. He'll produce love, so you can speak love unto people, so you can speak joy into people's hearts, so you can speak peace and patience and long-suffering. And hey, man, you can't do this. You can't get through your trial. You can. So you can speak salvation in someone's heart, so you can speak eternity in people's hearts. And I know this is touching you guys, and I know the Spirit of God's working. Let's go to our last scripture here, James 3, 9 through 12. With the tongue we praise our Lord, our Father, and with we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow into the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. And I'm finishing up here, guys. We're here in church worshiping, praying, praising, you know, speaking good into each other's life, prophesying. The whole works here. But what about when we go out there? What are we saying to our friends? What are we saying to our families? What are we saying to our brothers and sisters, to our moms and dads, to our parents, to our kids? What are we saying to them? You know, we can be all holy and righteous on Sunday, but we're transformed Monday through Saturday. We're a whole different person. And I don't know you, man. You're different. We're transformed into something else. And it's not good. Will you fall? Yeah, you will fall. You will fall. We all do. We're not perfect. Like I said in the Bible, no one can tame the tongue. You need to keep asking God for His power in your life, for His Spirit to move in your life. Because we can go from glory to glory, from higher to higher. You guys know what a fruit is? A fruit grows, doesn't it? Yeah. You're not going to get this week. You're not going to get this overnight. You won't be able to control what you say this year. A fruit grows. And believe it or not, this fruit is going to take a really long time to grow. It might take your whole lifetime to grow, to control yourself. I was reading, while I was doing my study, I read this interesting story here. I'll read it out to you guys. Scientists say that the sound waves set in motion by every voice go in an endless journey through space. Everything we say goes in motion for eternity. It doesn't stop. It goes into space. And it just circles around everything, every word I'm saying right now is going out to the outside, into the space, into the universe. And if we have the right instruments, delicate and sophisticated enough, and the power to recapture those waves, we could recreate every word every person has ever spoken. Scary. If we had the right tool, sophisticated, powerful enough, we can capture everything you have said since you were born. Every sound you have made. And it's recorded. Isn't that amazing? Bingo. God has that tool. God has been watching you since you were born. He's recorded everything you said. Every noise you've made since you were a baby till now. And He will until you die. I can just imagine when I come to heaven, He's going to ask me, why did you say this? You will be accountable for all the words that you said. You will be accountable for everything you've said in your life. The good and the bad. It all goes together. And picture this. You guys know what a balancing scale is? I don't know what they call it, but they have a thing that holds it. You put something on this side goes up, right? Yeah. Imagine one side is the words, the good words, life, eternity, salvation, lifting up, encouraging words. One side is the bad words, death, cursing, condemning, swearing. And it says here, You can't have salt and fresh water come out from the same spring. If you put your words on a balancing scale, is it going to balance out? Are they going to be both? I've said good things, but I've said bad things. You know what God calls that? Mediocrity. That's in the middle. When you're doing good and you're doing bad, you put those together, you're right in the middle. And God says, I want to chew them up and spit them out of my mouth. I know this is a hard topic, and I believe it. It is for me too.